What's your opinion? This is It's Debatable.
Hello to all, and thank you for tuning in. I'm Luca La Citignola, and I would like to introduce the fourth series of It's Debatable, a weekly discussion of current affairs. This was first featured in 2004 by the Department of International Relations in the Faculty of Arts at the University of Malta as part of a course of assessment of research methods. After years' absence, the department teamed up with MIRSA, the Malta International Relations Student Association, to bring the show back on air. Each week, two students from the department will put forward a topic of their interest. An expert in the field will join us in the second part of the program to give us his opinion on the affair. Today, participating students are Alex Bencini and Andrea Giallombardi, and their chosen topic for discussion is ethics in the contemporary warfare with regards to intervention in Libya. Before we begin the debate, I would like to invite our academic advisor to introduce today's subject. Dr. Arsalan Al-Shinawi is a lecturer at the Department of International Relations who specializes in international political economy. Dr. Arsalan, tell us something on ethics warfare, if there is such a thing.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate this opportunity, and I hope I can be of modest contribution. Well, in general, let's start from the beginning. Wars and ethics. We all know that brutal and bloody wars have been always an integral part of history. Let's people make no mistake that the history of mankind, especially in Europe, has been always full of brutal and bloody wars. And of course, all the time, as old as wars are, people also questioned what is right and wrong about wars. So war in general by most people in many parts of the world throughout history has been considered in general terms, in a broad context, a bad thing, because it involves deliberate killing of people or injuring them. And this is, for many people, is fundamentally wrong, because there's abuse of victim human rights. Now, of course, wars create many questions, not only historical, social, scientific, and other pragmatic questions, but a major question is an ethical one. Is war ever justified? I mean, there are studies on ethics and war, and there are the university departments, and it also made awareness that even wars, people should question what should be wrong, what should be right. So the general three questions come to my mind are these. I found most people agree that these are the three fundamental questions that we call them ethics of war. Is it ever right to go to war? Question two. When is it right to wage war? Number three, what is the moral way, like the modality, what is the moral way to conduct a war?
Thank you, sir. However, I would like to ask you, what do you think about war and ethics?
War and ethics, as we said, there are many questions when it comes to war and ethics itself. For example, there are a lot of details, questions, the 33 questions we mentioned, the general questions, but also there are details, I mean, questions that are more specific about the war. For example, and that's the whole idea. Questions create interest, and questions create concern for writers, scholars, individuals, associations, organizations from military, outside military, pressure groups, society itself at large. So we say the questions are, is it ethical to kill non-combatants? Can we kill people who are not involved in war, not literally fighting with us, but they are in the way? When is it legitimate to intervene in another country affairs, especially in the Department of International Relations, where we know the world is divided into sovereign nation states? A fundamental question is it legitimate to intervene in another country's affairs by waging war? Is a volunteer army morally preferable to a military draft? For example, if the fact we are dealing with voluntary soldiers, the fact that they had volunteered to go to war. So these are all questions that people ask. For example, another question, who has responsibility for dealing after the war, the consequences of the war? These are ethical questions. Who has responsibility to repair the damage? Is it the local? Is it the foreigners who intervened? And how would you also assess post-conflict measures to address the harms? I mean, the measures of the post-conflict are quite complicated. So it is impossible to think of wars without thinking about right and wrong, because wars are such a devastating process or episode or phenomenon, negative in most cases, that it will have a lot of questions about right and wrong. The one question I would like to say, having said that, but many times the study of of war and ethics does recognize that sometimes it is only the last choice amid a lot of evils, a lot of bad choices that are available, is the least evil. So there's also that element to be remembered.
What do you make of war in Libya developing the view of UN reasons for intervention?
Well, a major thing we have to start, I think, that's a very vast subject, and the issue of Libya has been interpreted by a variety of perspectives and approaches and impressions, depending on the philosophy of the person, the ideological background, the historical, the cultural, whatever, where, when, who is speaking. So really, this is very complicated in my little mind. But if I would say one thing, if we assume at least one thing I think we should come in, that we say the major declared reason for UN intervention and the whole Western machinery, the Western countries, the outside world, not only the West, Qatar was involved. A major reason, and that was how the war was defined against the regime of Gaddafi, to defend the civilians. Now, certainly, when that was the defined target, but certainly have changed. I mean, life is dynamic. Throughout the war, there were recent developments, and certainly what we call the goalposts have changed. People do admit, but we have to be aware, I mean, the war itself has developed maybe. Who could have seen, expected, that Gaddafi would resist? Gaddafi threatened, even when he had a lot of possibilities to escape the country, give up war, abandon the country. I mean, things were developed, so certainly the West had to move, whoever, against Gaddafi regime, to get to that target at any cost. And certainly, yes, I think the reaction of Gaddafi himself and the regime created, of course, yes, the target was to defend the civilians, that was declared, but certainly there were elements that went beyond that. But war has been dynamic and there were developments on the ground and outside.
Thank you for that introduction, Dr. Al-Shinabi. Now we'll move on our students, Andrea and Alex. Andrea, what do you think about war and ethics?
Well, even though my stance may seem as though I am not in favor of ethics in war, I do in fact believe that there can be ethical judgments and reasons for conducting a war. However, what I strongly believe in is that nowadays this idea of a just war has been overused, misused, and has just abused as much as possible for the benefit of powers that want to be seen as the good guy when declaring a war. A prime example we can use nowadays is the US invasion of Iraq in 2003. The reasons for the US and UK invading Iraq were supposedly ethical. Even the name of the war was transformed into this war propaganda. Operation Iraqi Freedom. It's not exactly a name you should be using for a war which kills people all the time. Nowadays, many of the NATO missions carry the similar names, where one can easily access the names of each different mission that was conducted in recent years on their NATO website. Many of these missions are just mainstream media network coverages for the justification of their cause. What I believe in is that ethics should be conducted during war and not before the war, not the reasons to conduct the war. This means that ethics should be the military's primary concern during the fighting. Killing of innocent civilians is completely unacceptable. And where ethics comes in, and where this is where collateral damage comes in. I'm sorry. This should be avoided at all costs, and no matter the reason or the importance of the target, civilians should be the main concern. I agree with the rules of engagement that are heavily enforced on most modern militaries of today, and I consider that to be the basic ethical level of war. However, as I stated before, the ethics in the international scene. And when it comes to the initiation of warfare between two states, it's still a bit blurred in my eyes.
Alex, what do you think about?
Well, I'll begin by saying that I too recognize that there can be situations when war may be the lesser evil of several bad choices. However, I strongly believe that a state should only go to war if it has tried every sensible, non-violent alternative first. I do believe ethics must be followed if war is the chosen option. The concept of war ethics has led to the creation of formal codes of war, such as the Hague and the Geneva Conventions. The Geneva Conventions today protect vulnerable and defenseless civilians caught up in the zone of war. Why should innocent civilians be mercilessly slaughtered in their own homes? The Hague Conventions, on the other hand, deal with the prohibition of all biological and toxin weapons. These are examples of nations agreeing that certain ethics when it comes to war must be adhered to, no matter what. There have been wars where soldiers rape, pillage, and massacre anyone in their path, even those pleading for mercy. Ethics in war, in my opinion, are clearly compulsory. A very hot topic with regards to war and ethics at the moment is the use of the unmanned aerial systems, also known as drones. The ethical problem in this sense is with the ease that the operator can detach themselves from the moral dimensions of their activity. Does the operator think of the targets as pixels on the screen instead of human beings? Does he realize that at the simple push of a button he can take away a man's life, a man he has never met, whose story he doesn't even know? Without ethics in warfare, we are left with an uncivilized species, a species that cannot decide between right or wrong, or sees correct to destroy anything in its path. This is not a civilized one. Let us not forget that our ability to choose between good and evil is what makes us human.
Andrea, how war in Libya developing the view of United Nations' reason for intervention?
I believe that the UN's intervention in Libya was just a catalyst to the situation, and the UN knew this. Stability is vital in that region, not only for the West but for the globe, as oil production is probably the most important product for the entire globe. The world runs on fossil fuels, and losing a region that is a mass producer of oil is a worrisome situation for everyone. However, may I mention that Libya was not a huge producer in oil when it comes to global percentage. A fact to keep in mind is that Libya is a mass producer of crude oil. Crude oil is a higher, if not the highest quality of oil one can produce, and it happens to be a favorite of powers such as USA, UK, and France. Now, someone can easily notice the extreme coincidence in the countries mentioned. I strongly don't believe in the reasons for why the UN intervened in Libya, because of the simple reason that Libya was one of many countries suffering civil unrest, and Libya, who happens to be the only mass producer in that list, was the country that was cited by the world and targeted to a certain extent by NATO. The exact situation, if not a worse situation, can be found in Syria, right as we are speaking right now. So far, there has been a very minimal reaction from the UN Security Council in regards to the situation in Syria. This shows what the real intentions of NATO's intervention in Libya were. Also, one must keep in mind that the way NATO conducted the bombing campaign was very controversial. They started by striking Libyan military targets such as missile launchers, air bases, radar systems, etc. When there was nothing left of those stationary targets, they moved on to bombing other targets such as tanks, ammunition warehouses, and towards the end, even Gaddafi himself. Even after they clearly stated that Gaddafi was not a target. But it is now very clear that Gaddafi was killed by the Libyan rebels because of a direct strike from NATO and his convoy.
Alex, what do you think about?
Well, let us not forget that the UN gave the go-ahead for the intervention in Libya through the UN Security Council Resolution 1973, which authorized the international community to establish a no-fly zone and to use all means necessary short of foreign occupation to protect civilians. From the very start, one may argue that the authorization of any means necessary is too broad and fails to clarify the extent to which force might be used to protect civilians. As Rizad Piotrowicz, professor of international law at Aberystwyth University, stated, targeted attacks on senior Libyan officials might be justified if this is the only way to stop attacks on civilians. That would also include an attack on Colonel Gaddafi himself. Many in the political world called for greater political pressure to be put on the Libyan leader, but to no avail. Criticism was also born on the weapons and ammunition airdrops by France to supply the Libyan rebels during the conflict. The US argued that Resolution 1973 did allow to provide the rebels with weapons to defend themselves. Let us not forget that the UN reasons were at the end of the day to protect civilian life, not to arm them and cause more bloodshed. On a moral ground, we must question why proposals to intervene in similar cases, such as in Rwanda, the Ivory Coast, DR Congo, or as mentioned previously, Syria, were not met with the same serious consideration as Libya. Was it another rush for oil on behalf of the Western world? Was the Democratic Republic of Congo ignored because the Chinese reached these resources first and it is now the Republic's main export partner? NATO's military intervention stands strong under the heading that it was done under the principle of the responsibility to protect.
Thank you, guys. Now we have a short break with the song Everybody Needs Somebody of Blues Brothers. Stay with us.
Join us here in the Palace Hotel Ballroom at this time.
Welcome back. The following is an audio clip of President Obama speaking on 26 March 2011. The audio clip is provided by the White House Press Office.
Last week, when I ordered our armed forces to protect the Libyan people from the brutality of Muammar Gaddafi, I pledged to keep the American people fully informed. Since then, I've spoken about the limited scope and specific purpose of this mission. Today, I can report that thanks to the brave men and women in uniform, we've made important progress. As Commander-in-Chief, I face no greater decision than sending our military men and women into harm's way. And the United States should not and cannot intervene every time there's a crisis somewhere in the world. But I firmly believe that when innocent people are being brutalized, when someone like Gaddafi threatens a bloodbath that could destabilize an entire region, and when the international community is prepared to come together to save many thousands of lives, then it's in our national interest to act. And it's our responsibility. This is one of those times. Our military mission in Libya is clear and focused. Along with our allies and partners, we're enforcing the mandate of the United Nations Security Council. We're protecting the Libyan people from Gaddafi's forces. And we've put in place a no-fly zone and other measures to prevent further atrocities. We're succeeding in our mission. We've taken out Libya's air defenses. Gaddafi's forces are no longer advancing across Libya. In places like Benghazi, a city of some 700,000 that Gaddafi threatened to show no mercy, his forces have been pushed back. So make no mistake, because we acted quickly, a humanitarian catastrophe has been avoided and the lives of countless civilians, innocent men, women, and children have been saved. As I pledged at the outset, the role of American forces has been limited. We're not putting any ground forces into Libya. Our military has provided unique capabilities at the beginning, but this is now a broad international effort. Our allies and partners are enforcing the no-fly zone over Libya and the arms embargo at sea. Key Arab partners like Qatar and the United Arab Emirates have committed aircraft. And as agreed this week, responsibility for this operation is being transferred from the United States to our NATO allies and partners. This is how the international community should work. More nations, not just the United States, bearing the responsibility and cost of upholding peace and security. This military effort is part of our larger strategy to support the Libyan people and hold the Gaddafi regime accountable. Together with the international community, we're delivering urgent humanitarian assistance. We're offering support to the Libyan opposition. We've frozen tens of billions of dollars of Gaddafi's assets that can help meet the needs and aspirations of the Libyan people. And every day, the pressure on Gaddafi and his regime is increasing. Our message is clear and unwavering. Gaddafi's attacks against civilians must stop. His forces must pull back. Humanitarian assistance must be allowed to reach those in need. Those responsible for violence must be held accountable. Muammar Gaddafi has lost the confidence of his people and the legitimacy to rule, and the aspirations of the Libyan people must be realized. In recent days, we've heard the voices of Libyans expressing their gratitude for this mission. "You saved our lives," said one Libyan. Said another, "Today there is hope." Every American can be proud of the lives we've saved in Libya and of the service of our men and women in uniform who once again have stood up for our interests and our ideals. And people in Libya and around the world are seeing that the United States of America stands with those who hope for a future where they can determine their own destiny.
Let's move on now to another session. Andrea, given UN reasons, what do you think about the air campaign and Gaddafi's fate?
Well, I highly disagree with the way the UN and more obviously NATO has conducted the intervention in Libya, as I have previously stated. A point I'd want to put forward is the fact that I spoke to an individual, a Libyan soldier, who fought in his revolution, and he presented a few points that I'd like to share with you right here. According to this particularly a Libyan individual, he stressed on the way his hometown was destroyed, Sirte. There was no reason whatsoever to destroy a whole city and loot it in favor of a revolution. He also stressed in the point that the French arm drops were very controversial. He mentioned that these rebels were untrained soldiers, they had no idea how to use these weapons, and it was obviously a very dangerous situation. And as we can see, war is never obviously a straightforward and straight-to-the-point process, but with these arm drops, this loyalist stressed to the point that the war was obviously unfair on both sides.
Alex, what do you think about this?
So with regards to Gaddafi's death, it is unethical and morally wrong to kill, let alone a man pleading for his life. Gaddafi did this in his last moments. It was simply slaughter. Of course he was a tyrant. He caused great suffering to his people and is a proud and noble goal to eliminate his ability to cause future harm. However, we can only imagine the pain of the civilians in Libya who were affected by his regime. But the idea of killing as entertainment and as a public spectacle is a hallmark of uncivilized society. Many will argue that he should have been sent to a trial at The Hague and, if found guilty, imprisoned for his crimes. Gaddafi was taken away from the equation in one of the most public performances imaginable. I'm sure many people will agree with me that on the 20th of October 2011, every social networking site, whether it be Facebook or Twitter, pictures of a dead man, nothing more, nothing less, would show up on their home screen. All the news stations from CNN to Al Jazeera paraded videos of the man, bloodied, being manhandled through the streets. Since when do we promote this? Since when is it ethical to publicly broadcast what is little more than the moments before a man's execution? I saw no democracy or peace in his death, simply revenge. It may be argued that countries such as Britain and France have left the Libyan crisis with their tail between their legs. Rather than protecting innocent civilians, they have aided a civil war. The more aggressive they made their attempt for regime change, the less robust they made the Libyan liberation.
Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today. This was indeed an interesting debate on ethics in contemporary warfare. On behalf of the team behind It's Debatable, I would like to thank all contributors of this program. I invite you to join us next week for a debate on whether the Palestine bid for UN membership will aid or hinder peace talks with Israel. For this debate, we will talk to Dr. Carmen Samut, who is currently lecturing in Palestine and will be able to give us first-hand details on what the situation is like on the ground. Until then, keep updated.
You have just had the pleasure of listening to another student-run episode of It's Debatable, produced by the Department of International Relations within the Faculty of Arts at the University of Malta. For more information, kindly visit mrsa.org.mt. Tune in next week, same time, same frequency.